Hello, welcome to the WW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by some of my best friends. And we're here today to talk about a really cool vacation that, frankly, it involved four different families. So we're super excited. Let me introduce everybody here. So let's go around the table. So Cindy Ellicott. Cindy, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. I have Scott and Shannon Ferrioli. Scott, Shannon, how are you guys?
Doing good.
Great.
Excellent. And Krista and Jeremy Murray. Krista Griffin, how are you guys?
Good.
I'm really good. Thanks.
Boy, we're all subdued. It's like everyone's a little calm today. Usually we're bouncing off the wall. So I like this. As I mentioned, we just got back from a really nice vacation. We're going to talk more about it. But essentially, it was to California, right? It was Krista and Jeremy, your first time to Disneyland, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Scott, Shannon, Cindy, and I had been there previously. The Malik family came. It wasn't just me. I brought the family along, but we had been there before. But anytime you have a chance to go to California, go see Disneyland or California Adventure, it's going to be something special because it's the non-routine, right? Florida is the routine for us. And we don't mean to sound like it's common. It's not. It's still really cool and unique. But California really brought upon a different set of challenges. So that's my first question for you guys. Before we get into all the details, you've returned home. Give me a packing tip. Something that you might have done different or learned about different for California that you might not have done for Florida. Share like some packing information for a trip like this. So, Cindy, what do you got? Give us something good.
Well, you need a jacket. If you're going in July in Florida, you're not going to need a coat or a jacket. But in Disneyland, in the evenings, a jacket was handy. And first thing in the morning.
Now you say handy. I say dang cold. It got cold in California. Surprisingly cold, right? I wouldn't say cold. Okay, let's say chilly. Let's say chilly.
Because you're from Saskatchewan. It was refreshing. It was nice. It was kind of normal July weather, but we're used to it cooling down at night, and that's what it did. It would get down to 60 degrees in the morning. So just a little jacket that you can have on just for the chill of the first and the end of the day.
Nice. Scott and Shannon, you guys are very familiar with the cool evenings of July in Florida, of course, and yes, the jackets you wear there often, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Give us a packing tip. What kind of travel advice would you give someone going to California?
So my biggest thing is if you frequent Florida and you maybe are used to wearing sandals or flip-flops, you probably want to bring sneakers to California. Because I felt like there was a lot more walking and a lot more distance maybe between rides that you maybe... I found we were crisscrossing the park a lot and you felt like it was a lot more walking than we do normally in Florida.
Scott, how about you? That's a great point though, Shannon. I don't know how people get through. It's been like my rant since episode one is the flip-flops in the parks and whatnot. So, Scott, how about you? Give me a tip.
A packing tip. I wasn't even planning this because I was letting Shannon speak for me. Come back to me. I'll come up with a packing tip. I didn't do any packing, so I've got. I can give other tips.
But you just showed up.
I just show up, right?
How about travel tip? Don't listen to your wife at 5:30 in the morning when she tells you to drive through the ditch.
That's a good one.
We've joked
follow
about
the GPS. Yes. It tells you not to go.
And the GPS says, yeah, get off two exits early for some odd reason. You go, why in the world would the GPS tell us to do this? And that way you're able to, you know, not miss your flight.
Right.
Nice. Krista, give us a tip.
Well, if you're not staying at a Disney hotel, I suggest you pack some shampoo, conditioner maybe, because Belle hardly had any. They had little tiny bottles and we had to Instacart some shampoo.
Hang on. So when you say little tiny bottles, you guys were all in California prior to the Malik's. And I think Murray said, hey, we're ordering something from Instacart. And we were like, okay, maybe what about the shampoos? And someone made a comment. They were literally like 3/4 of an ounce or 1/2 ounce bottles. It was a one-time use. It was a single use shampoo bottle. So
I've never seen a bottle of shampoo. It was about the volume of my pinky. free for 5 nights. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. My packing tip would be, if you're not staying in, see, all the DVC resorts have me spoiled and they have USB ports, jacks everywhere. And the room, the hotel we stayed in, the Best Western Stovall, just did it. I think there was one USB jack that was attached to the clock radio alarm, and that was the only USB jack in the entire hotel. So Krista packed one of these things I bought from Costco that has like 6 USB ports and whatnot. But without that thing, we have so much stuff that's just powered by USB cords. We would have been in big trouble for the whole trip.
That's a great tip. And you guys, I think everyone had one at least for that vacation. Yes. So, that, yes. And my tip is to arrive last. Make sure all your friends get there first so they can figure out what the stuff that needs to be replaced and repaired. So you can just say, oh yeah, Murray, can you order me one of those too as well? And what's the scoop, Scott? And that way, if you said, well, this hotel is kind of dirty or kind of cramped, the Malik's might have, no, I'm just joking. I wouldn't have done that to you guys. So yeah. So here we go. So Scott, how long ago was this? We started talking about maybe taking a vacation to Disneyland, and we just talked about it like we talk about everything. And all of a sudden that got rolling. Jeremy and us started talking, and then we started putting it out there and people said, yeah, we're interested. But when you started putting like the dollars and times to the vacation, some people did, some people didn't, for a lot of reasons in their life. But it was really just the three families. Then all of a sudden, like a wild card, Cindy said, when is that trip again? And before we knew it, we had Cindy committed to going as well too. So just through time and just fun conversation, this built to a 4-family trip. What was your biggest concern going into a trip like this? Tell me your number one concern about when you're involving 4 different families on vacation and like what we did to like kind of like solve that. So Cindy, what was your concern? Cause you kind of came after some of the plans had already been laid. What was your thought?
I think my biggest concern was being able to keep up with everybody. You guys are all young families and, you know, have young children. You're used to being very active and involved with them and stuff like that. So just really concerned about whether I would be holding back the crew or not able to keep up.
Okay. Spoiler alert. Cindy was like Barry Sanders running from the backfield. We were literally struggling to keep up with Cindy as she was mowing people down in front of us. So don't let her think, not at all. Scott, Shannon, what was your number one concern?
One of my concerns, I mean, it was very similar to Cindy's, is that I know that I'm able to walk at a certain pace. Like I'm good at going relatively quickly when I'm walking. But when I'm walking with somebody a little bit slower, like a lot of times my mother-in-law will come to a park with us. And when we slow it down just a little bit, that's when I start hurting more. And my back starts aching. And like, I know my pace is good, but sometimes even altering it just a little bit, I know can sometimes mess me up. So I was just concerned that, you know, we're going to slow things down. And again, not, this is not anybody specific or in general, just everybody's going to be, you know, we're all going to be going together. So it's not like any one person really dictates how everybody is walking. And I was a little concerned that we were going to possibly be slowing it up, or we're not going to be, I was going to have personal issues pain wise from not going the pace that I'm normally accustomed to.
Okay. Shannon, what was your concern?
So my number
Scott
one
not
concern,
doing anything.
Scott not packing, missing our flight. No, my boys, they have very different personalities, and I was concerned about maybe one of them acting out a little bit more, one of them moping a little bit more, but they were fantastic. You guys opened up your hearts and took them in as family and really made it a fantastic week. But my concern was just how they were going to do with all the people. You know, my younger one might have a tendency to be feel a little spoiled maybe and feel like he wasn't getting his way. And I was a little concerned that that was going to be an issue, but everything was wonderful. So,
and kids are a wild card, right? Like you're hoping that your kids are going to behave. Everyone hopes their kids, but it's vacation, right? There are a thousand things going on, sights, sounds, smells, you know, stimulus everywhere. And you're just keeping your fingers crossed, even for the best and easiest of family vacations, you know? So Krista, what was your number one concern?
Mine's similar to Shannon's. Mm-hmm. Ev would get tired and get cranky or be annoying, but she's fine.
Yeah. Jeremy, what was your number one concern?
My number one concern. Probably, I didn't know. I've been in a lot of rides at Walt Disney World, and I have a hard time fitting in them. And I didn't know if California being like an older park, or just having different ride vehicles, if I would be sized out of a lot of rides. I didn't want the gang to feel like I'm just a big person. I'm over 350 pounds, and I'm 6'2", 6'3", maybe if I stand up really, really straight. And I didn't know if I would be able to fit in a lot of the ride vehicles, and that made me nervous.
I don't recall that being an issue, though, except for one ride, really. Is that correct? One ride.
I was sized out of one ride. That was, I forget the name of it. It was kind of like the dino ride there. Scott, you ended up sitting on it for like 20 minutes. Okay.
Goofy Sky School.
Oh, was it Goofy Sky School? Yeah. Was that right?
Okay. Yes, it was Goofy Sky School.
Right.
Which is a very small seat. I mean, yes, I had a hard time fitting in it, too.
I was in, though. I sat in. I was locked. Yeah. I felt good. Our car advanced 6 or 8 feet into the pole position. And then she looked down at me, and she goes, "You've got to click your thing." And I'm like, "I'm clicked in. I just rode up here." And she goes, "No, it needs to click once more. It's telling me it's not going to." And I pushed down, and there was just no more to give. And she's like, "Maybe if you try." And I'm like, "No, just let me out." Yeah. And so I did. I think it was the first day we did Space Mountain. And I gave myself like a bruise on my knee that was there for the entire trip, but still got a little bit of duskiness to it. I went to sit down, and I just sat straight down in the seat. And when my back slid down, my knee was so far into the seat in front of me that I'm just like, I'm going in. I went down and I kind of like buckled the seat in front of me a little bit, but I just went in. And that was fun.
You guys all had these amazing specific like concerns. And like I had concerns from the start of the trip that didn't even deal with the trip. Like you guys had to talk me off a ledge several times. I had a dog that health was failing, right? And the dog actually passed away prior to the trip, but that was a major concern. I had fears about like airline cancellation and credits, and like you guys were like, "No, we'll make it happen." like just the logistics of everything. Guys, you guys, we know each other really well as friends. But like when we go on vacation, usually the Malics are like, "Oh, we'll go on vacation." And we're kind of like rogues. We kind of hang out by ourselves. And maybe we'll spend an afternoon at Scott and Shannon's house, or we'll spend a day at a park with the Murrays, or whatever the case may be. But we don't often plan large family trips. So now we've got a group. We're going 2,600 miles away. We're going to spend 4 days completely with each other, every meal, every ride, every attraction. And I'm like, this is going to work out just great. As I'm sweating, you know, I'm sweating bullets like, oh, I'm hoping this is going to work out great. And so you guys had these specific like thoughts. I was just working on the logistics. But the first major concern I had was, as little as this sounds of something of a concern, when you guys were like, "Let's make dining reservations," because it's me, right? I'm not making reservations. I'm walking into the park. I'm just going to get my dining wherever I want to. Oh, my gosh. I could kiss Shannon Ferrioli on the forehead every day for forcing that issue, because how are we going to fit 13 people? Like, who are we? Like to walk into Disneyland, you know, party of 13, please seat us. Like they would look at us and like make fun of us.
Yeah.
The best thing you ever did was make a decision. We need to have one dining reservation. And I remember the word hangry, like specifically in the conversation, to avoid us from getting hangry. We need to have one guaranteed meal every day, because we're going to eat at the hotel, right? Right. Thank goodness you did that. And you guys like spearheaded, "Let's make all these reservations." You guys just knocked them out. And like, that was the greatest decision ever. And this comes from a guy who doesn't make reservations for anything like ever. I'm just going to take it and just figure it out as I'm going along. Thank goodness you took the lead on that one. So here's what we did. We communicated early, right? We're going to California. where do we want to stay? Well, we don't want to spend $555 a night to go to the Disneyland Tower, right? And we didn't want to spend $350 or $400 to go to Paradise Pier. We can save a little money by getting a little closer off-site, but we're going to give up some of the amenities. So we went to the Best Western Stovall's, which is a Good Neighbor hotel right across the street, right? We all agreed. Breakfast, rooms were clean. I had stayed there before. And it was somewhere between pretty reasonable considering the family buffet breakfast, you know, was still part of that deal for us. So we stayed off-site. Off-site at Disneyland encompasses a walk. There probably is a shuttle, but the shuttle is going to be hard because everyone that's at the resort is taking the shuttle. We could take an Uber as well. So it involves a walk. Does anyone recall the length of walk from the hotel to the main entrance of the park in distance? Anybody have a distance?
I know yes, it was Cindy. Always further on the way back.
it was twice as long on the way back, right?
Cindy, I believe it was. I believe it was 1,600 steps each way.
It was dang near clear, almost a mile, almost a mile to and fro. And you're right, Jeremy, that mile on the way back was hellacious, you know, until you cheated and we went through, not you, but we went through like the Grand Californian and we figured out our hacks to get back home. So realize that you're staying off property. They got a shuttle. Like if you look, everyone's got a shuttle. That's nice, but it's a van. And you've also got 800 people in your hotel. So that van's going to get really tight, you know, so make sure you get your Uber or you're walking. So we planned a hotel, and then when the park reservations like opened up and we were allowed to get it, we all bought our tickets. So we bought our tickets and we were deciding, do we want park hoppers? Do we want straight up tickets? We made a decision on that. And then Scott and Shannon watched videos literally every day. Scott teasing us with walkthroughs and food videos, like literally every day. We were all tasked with pick a restaurant on property that you want to go to and we'll find reservations, right? That was pretty much the task at that point, right?
Yep.
Yes.
So Scott literally had a fantasy mock draft for the restaurants with criticisms as they went along. I bear in mind you. So the first person to make a pick was you, right, Murray? You made the first pick, yep. Right?
He chose the Carnation Cafe.
Carnation Cafe in Disneyland, right? Pick number two was?
It was us with Lamplight Lounge.
Great. So the first pick and the second pick all got like 4-star reviews from Scott, right? And then we were thinking, well, we also wanted to do Blue Bayou, right? Because like that was like the signature restaurant minus mm-hmm. Club 33. We all want to do Blue Bayou. We all want to eat inside the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction.
Yep.
And oddly enough, I wanted to eat outside the parks at Ralph Brennan's Jazz Kitchen. So I made that a pick. And up to this point, Cindy hadn't even joined.
Nope.
No, the group. So it was just the our three families. So poor Cindy just kind of went along and like just grazed with no pressure at every meal. She was like, this is good. If it's bad, I claim the responsibility. I will say my draft pick got criticized harshly by Mel Kiper, Scott Farioli, pretty good. It was like a B rating, I remember. Was it true?
It's a possibility. I think that yours was the, if we're talking football, yours was the most dangerous pick. It could have gone either way. Like we all had like the safe picks and then you reached for your pick a little and it was like, this could be a winner, but there's a lot of spicy foods here. We'll have to see how this one plays out type thing.
Right.
And it was a fantastic choice.
So our idea was we're going to spend at least the Malik family. We spent 4 days in the parks. Maurice, how many days did you spend in the parks?
Four.
Scott and Shannon, you guys spent a little longer, correct?
We were there for five.
And Cindy showed up like 3 weeks in advance. She was at the parks every day for like, no. Cindy, how many days did you spend at the parks?
I ended up 6 days at the parks.
6 days. She completely like tortured us seeing her get to our location early and walk around in the beautiful weather and whatnot. So we decided we're going to alternate, right? Disneyland, California Adventure. Disneyland, California Adventure. And we wanted to kind of go at it that way. But somewhere along the line, it was decided, maybe we drop the park hoppers and instead we get the Genie Plus service. Like that certainly wasn't my suggestion. I'm not smart enough to figure that one out. So I just kind of went along with the crowd. What's up, Murray?
That was
it
me.
Was you? It was that your was, suggestion?
I think that was my best only contribution.
It was a great contribution. So
yes.
who led that? So we had to kind of control that, and we had to all sync up. But like, I'm putting that in the girls, you know, corner for sure. The girls led a lot of that planning and reserving and navigating through that, you know. But someone explain this Genie Plus for somebody in California. Give us a summary.
I just want to say, for watching it go down, it was the best vacation for me because I don't like to be in charge of anything. I just like to wander around in the back and run my mouth a lot and chit chat and eat and whatever. And every time there was a decision to be made about what the next ride was, like the council of ladies would put their heads together. There would be like a 3-minute conversation and then we would just know what we were doing and everybody would have a ticket. And it was amazing.
Correct. Shannon, give us a description of this Genie Plus, California's version.
The biggest difference, I think, with California, and I will be completely full disclosure, I haven't used it in Disney World yet, because as an annual pass holder, it doesn't really make sense for us to use it for the way that we go to the parks now. The biggest difference is that you can't make a reservation with Genie Plus in California until you physically scan your ticket into the park in the morning. In Disney World, I believe it's 7 a.m. if you're staying on property, 9 a.m. Otherwise. So what we did every day was, you know, we would walk over to the park. We would scan into the park. Most days when we went to Disneyland, we took the monorail over because it was a little bit shorter of a walk. So we all just got together on the monorail and picked our first ride of the day, usually somewhere near where we were entering in the park. And then I believe there's a two-badge system in Disney World is what I'm hearing, that when you go on into a ride, you scan your ticket or your Magic Band at the entrance, and then there's a second scan point. Can Cindy or anyone, is that correct?
Yes. And then that's correct, yes.
And then you can pick a new one after the second badge. Is that?
Yeah.
But some people have said that in Disney World, it doesn't work every time. I don't know for sure. But we didn't have any issues with it. As soon as we scanned it, got onto a ride, you know, while we were in line waiting for the ride, we were able to make our next one. So we were just kind of like banging out the ride super quick, one after the other.
Yeah, it was a great choice by Jeremy on that one. That was worked super well.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah.
So here's my first tip that I wrote down, that you can't make this reservation until you're in the park, right? So if you're walking through Downtown Disney, and it's called Downtown Disney from, you know, in California, as you enter, walking away from the Disneyland Hotel, there is a monorail station that's somewhere towards the beginning of the Downtown Disney property. And there's a ticket entrance right there. And you can scan your tickets, go up the stairs, go up the elevator, and you can get on the first entrance to the monorail, which takes you in a really cool tour of the park and lets you off at Tomorrowland. Mm-hmm. Or you can bypass that and walk through Downtown Disney, and you wait with the horde of people at the front entrance where you can't redeem it. Well, the days that we did that, we were literally in the parks after maybe a 5-minute wait, or at least on the monorail. And as we saw the entrance to Disneyland, there is literally a horde of people there. So if you want to get your reservations a little earlier and you're not staying on property, take that entrance that's just at the beginning of Downtown Disney, and you'll be able to pick your first attraction earlier. And you're not having to wait with the mass of people towards the concourse where the parks are separated right there. So that's the first tip.
Yeah.
So we could literally go like attraction by attraction by attraction. This would be like as long as Lord of the Rings, you know, from the first three movies. But you know, I think it's important to say that we went and spent 2 days at each park. So, you know, I think based on just attractions and whatnot, we should probably go with just an overall like memory of perhaps the day or attraction, and then talk about the dining options, if that's okay with you guys. Because I'm trying to figure out how to divide this up, and we have so many memories that honestly, my photo gallery is just chock full of pictures I scroll through daily that make me smile and laugh. And I remember every scene like it was just yesterday. So, I mean, you guys want to talk about the first day at Disneyland. What is something that sticks out in your mind the first day, the first attraction, your first feeling as you walk down Main Street or seeing, you know, Walt's apartment? What is your first thought? And we're only really talking about when we're together, because Scott was there a day before and Cindy was there a few days before. Mm-hmm. But as a group, what would be your first thought of that day? Krista and Jeremy, what is your thought?
When they're like, oh, there's the castle. I was like, really? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. That is totally the castle. It is like one third the size, maybe.
So it was anticlimactic for you? The castle size? Really?
I could tell it was the castle, and I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's the castle. Like, it was kind of smaller. It was a little... the castle was underwhelming to me, but it was a nice castle. It was very cute. It's very pretty. I don't want to bash on the castle. I mean, it performs as much function as the one in Walt Disney World does. In fact, perhaps more, because I actually had fun walking through the castle.
So would a person be... I'm not going to say function over size. I'm just going to leave it right there and move along. That's all I'm going to say. Shannon, what was your first memory? What was your first thought of the first day?
So the first thing that we did that I can recall getting off that monorail was Autopia. And my son, Trent, who's turning 15 in October and will be getting his permit at some point, rode that ride. And we have done Tomorrowland Speedway a few times, though it's not our favorite. We haven't done it in a long time. And he absolutely loved that ride. I mean, you talk about scrolling through your photo gallery. I have videos and pictures of him laughing his head off, which he does laugh a lot, but he's also a very quiet, shy child. So to see him laughing and smiling that way was just a huge memory. I mean, core memory for me, 5 minutes into the trip, was his face on that ride was hysterical. And then just seeing immediately everyone's family just started meshing together. I mean, Jeremy was like, sure, you know, I'll take Tyler with me. And, you know, everybody kind of
not by choice, not by Jeremy's choice.
It was such a riot. He was such a riot. We went and he would find the bends that if a sharp corner was coming up to the left, he would wait till just at the last second, and he would bang the wheel to the right as hard as he could. And then at one point, he just took his hands. We were going through like these S curves, and he took his hands off the wheel and just folded them over his chest. And we hit every one of the S curves. And we were laughing so hard, like I couldn't even stop. Like, it was so hilarious.
Yes, that was my moment that I think we felt a sense of relief. And that we had done something great. We had made the right choice. Then this was going to be a great week. That was my first core memory unlocked right there on that. And that's my first big memory.
Cool. Krista, what is your first memory the first day?
My first memory is getting on that monorail and going around and seeing like the different things in the park, from the things that you could see from the monorail. And I thought that was pretty cool.
That's a really cool perspective you don't get in Florida, right? I mean, it's literally in the park. So, Cindy, what was your first thought?
I think it was very similar to Shannon. It was related to the Autopia ride. And this was the first ride that we did as a group. And it has stairs up and down, which I can't take. So they have a lift, which is great. It was accessible. But I was heading over there, and then right away, somebody said, oh, you're not going on there by yourself. We're going to go together. And it was at that moment that I felt like, okay, I'm part of the group. It's not going to just be me having to, you know, deal with my issues or whatever, while they kind of, you know, are always busy with their group, that I'm going to be included in this group. And that was pretty special for me.
Nice. Scott, what about you? What's your first thought?
Since we've done Disneyland previously, so not really ride related. It was right after we got off the monorail, though. I think we had already planned what we grabbed our Genie Plus for the next ride up. So we all sat there, and this was like our first real interaction. We're in the park together, and we said, what do you guys want to do? And pretty much everybody in the group agreed immediately that we were like, hey, you know, whatever, I'm cool with, you know, do whatever you guys want to do. It kind of showed like what the families were like immediately. And everybody there was like, listen, you know, hey, look, I'm willing to do whatever you want. Everybody was willing to put, like, if they had preferences, a little bit like on the back burner. And everybody immediately was looking out for the other families involved. And all groups involved were like, hey, I'm cool with whatever you guys want to do. You know, I'm flexible. And I really think that helped set the tone for the trip, that there was nobody who was ever like, you know, demanding or wanted to do this. Or like, there was never really like any clash it was everybody kind of just like, hey, whatever is great. You know, you got to do this right this time. That's fine. If we have to, I'll sit out. And just everybody just really meshed right away.
You know, I couldn't have said that better myself, because Shannon, I was going to say my major memory was families standing in line at the Artopia and taking pictures together and having conversations and having like a break off points with conversations. My family's talking to Murray and Krista was talking to Beatrice. And then, you know, it was just really cool to see how everybody said, okay, we're amongst a big crowd, because we largely live in a remote world, right? We're talking to each other right now. And the distance mileage right now between our families is like massive right now. We're talking several thousands of miles. So we live in a remote world. All of a sudden we're together. How is it going to work? And, you know, Everly comes up to me and says, hey, you want to ride with me in this? And I'm like, yeah, I have a 7-minute recording of the whole ride on my radio that I have to still upload. And Everly's hysterical on there. So I've got to be able to go and play that for everybody. But seeing Cindy ride, and you're right. You know what? That was the cool part. We were never going to say, nope, it's just me and Murray on this attraction, or me and Scott. It was never like that. I think we all took time and we rode different attractions with you, and we were all comfortable with it. Never once was there a Trent or an Everly saying, oh, I don't want to ride with, you know, with Chris or with Scott. It never happened. And that was the cool part about that trip. Mm-hmm. But shout out to the Autopia, getting 2 core memory, you know, shout outs for we're in Disneyland. But if you've not been there, you only see and you hear these things, and you look at these books you might find, and you're like, oh yeah, that's you can't imagine how cool it is to actually see that in person and to hear, you know, the sound of the Matterhorn as you're walking by. And if you've not been to Walt Disney World since, I don't remember the date that 20,000 Leagues closed, to actually see the lagoon where the submarines are going now, that attraction was still down, but still really cool to be able to see these things in person.
Can I jump in here for a second?
Yeah, please.
So I've been to Walt Disney World more than 15 times, probably less than 20. And I have never ridden the Speedway there, because to me, it looked like a go-kart with bumpers. Like, yeah. If I'm going to ride a go-kart, I want to ride a regular go-kart. I don't want to be held by a rail. So mm-hmm. for me, I've never, ever, ever ridden the Speedway because it just looked lame. Mm-hmm. So I would have, if my little family of 3 had gone out to California, I never would have gone on Autopia, probably. I don't believe I would have.
I almost said the same exact thing, Jeremy. It's and nothing you've ever done.
Yeah.
And the fact that I laughed my head off for 3 minutes straight while I was bonding with this kid who ended up being pretty much my ride or die for the entire vacation. Like, me and Tyler were like thick as thieves for the rest of that vacation after that one ride. He'd run up to me and chat, and then he'd go do something else, and he'd come at me and have a story or want to pick my brain. And it was all because of a ride I never even would have ridden on by myself. Mm-hmm. And that to me is total magic.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, that's not to understate anything else we did that day. I mean, we could literally talk about Pirates and Haunted Mansion and everything. But honestly, we're to move it along. But like, these are just phenomenal, like things that we're doing together as a family. I would give us, you know, just a small shout out to me rescuing the rat as it goes across the parkway in Adventureland, where I'm literally standing there, and maybe I'll say it's a mouse, not a rat. Maybe I'll clean that one up a little bit as a mouse came walking by and jumped up in my shoe as I'm trying to escort this thing from getting squished. Ain't Murray, no you mouse. Have a look on your face.
There's no mouse that weighs 1.5 pounds and has a 9-inch tail. That was a rat.
I didn't want to see him get squished. I didn't want people to squish him right in front of all the kids. So I was trying to escort this rat over to the side. So anyway.
Not only was it a rat, it was a sick rat. It was a carrier of the bubonic plague.
This is true. But I tried to pick it up too multiple times. He just kept on jumping.
You were standing still and it was climbing across your foot. We thought it was going to run up your leg and up your shorts for a second. We're like, oh my, what are you doing, Chris?
But you know me. I'm going to try and help. I'm a helper.
No one has a video or a photo because we were just dumbfounded that it was actually happening.
We were shocked. Meanwhile, there's other women sitting there videotaping you. I'm like, this is going to go live. This is going viral on TikTok. Crazy man
going to go viral twice, once from the internet and once from what Malik catches off the rack.
You know, the funny thing is my family didn't even bat an eyeball because Dad usually does stuff like that. So my family just kind of expected that. So anyways, we hey, another highlight. I did Rise of the Resistance for the very first time. So that was pretty cool. I haven't done that in Florida. So I did Rise the very first time. But let's take it right to the dining option, if you guys don't mind. Let's get to the Carnation Cafe and let's talk about this for that day too. Went to the Carnation Cafe, original, right? It's original from Disneyland, and we had our very first meal together. We did eat all together in this long, you know, communal table, which isn't a given because Disneyland's restaurants aren't designed to fit 13 people. They're designed to fit parties of 4 and 6, but not 13. So we did eat together, and the meal was, at least in my opinion, was really good. And it kind of set the tone that it wasn't going to be just burgers and fries, even though a lot of us happened to get burgers and fries. They were really good and really enjoyable. The service was on the spot. Yes. Murray had gravy that he was going to drink, but I mean, it was really good food. Give us something about Carnation. Give me like 3 words, like describe Carnation Cafe the best you possibly can here. Maybe more than 3 words, a few words. Cindy, what do you think?
Service was excellent, and the cheesecake was phenomenal.
It's a big old piece of cheesecake. Yeah. That was a double cheesecake piece. Yes.
Oh.
Scott, Shannon, what do you think about Carnation Cafe?
Get the potato soup.
Yeah, you ate that.
Fantastic. Yeah. That was all I ate. I didn't eat a meal. I wasn't that hungry going in. So I just ordered a bowl of the potato soup, and then I ended up getting a dessert as well. But the soup was delicious. It was probably the best baked potato soup I've ever had.
Okay.
I wasn't super hungry, so I got a salad. It was salad, grilled chicken on it. Didn't blow me away, but I mean, it was a solid salad. And again, my main thing was this. We had issues off property by our hotel at the restaurant the night before. So we had a fantastic server and wait staff and everything while we're at this place. And it was nice having real service again. And they did a fantastic job with a large table.
Krista, give me some thoughts.
I liked it. I had a grilled chicken salad with special dressing on it. It wasn't my favorite thing I ate the whole time I was there, but it was okay.
Okay. Murray, what about you?
I think it's funny that we're just going to gloss over Coco's the night before, Chris, because you're there, but that could be a podcast all on its own.
It might be a Patreon podcast for sure.
Patreon,
you can feel free to openly vent at that point.
All right. So here, I will say that Cindy suggested the possibility, and I concur with her, that I think the gravy, which is the single best gravy that I've ever had in my entire life, was actually doctored up potato soup from the prior day. So I think they take it as the base and then do some voodoo with it. But it was so flavorful, so good. I usually, like, I grew up cooking Thanksgiving dinner for 12, 15 people. And all my people always say that I have the best gravy in the world. And that gravy was better than my gravy.
Done deal.
So good.
So here's what cinched it for me, right? We're tired, but we're not like sweaty messes. It's still hot in California in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. We've just gone through the parks with our buddies all day long. We're sitting down in a restaurant that Walt ate at. It's a Disneyland original, and we're going to get really good service. I
Walt's chili.
There you go. You did. Yes, you did. How could it fail? And, you know, I genuinely enjoyed it. It was a really nice experience, and the waiter was really good as far as breaking the bills apart and applying the right discounts. It was a great experience. When did we leave the parks that night, though, guys? Was that the night we got separated? We were doing Rise with Cindy, and then you guys were kind of hanging back a little bit. And then we, you know, at that point, there was a wall that was hit because we're starting the days off at like 8:30, you know, in the parks, 8:45 every day, right?
Yeah, yes. We definitely hit a wall that night.
Okay.
For sure.
And we had a return time for Rise Resistance, but it happened that it had been down for about 3 hours. So when we got back there, even the lightning lane was like a hour wait. Yeah. So it turned into a much longer separation than what we had thought it was going to be.
Okay. Yeah. Let's also state this too, that when we talk about this trip, we have a lot of positive memories. yes, there were kids that were tired. Yes, there were times that the adults were tired and cranky and the kids were tired and cranky. Not everything was like sunshine and roses, but like the way that everyone handled it and the way that even when the kids got a little tired, there was never any like, how can I describe this? Like flat out like moments of like, we're going back. It never occurred, you know, to that. So
any meltdowns, and yeah. I didn't have any meltdowns that I recall.
Yeah. I didn't melt down on my children at all, which to be frank happens occasionally.
I would say you would have expected much worse with there being kids and the heat and walking and everything. And it went much, much better than honestly I could have ever expected.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was by far the longest time we've spent in a Disney park in 6 years. I mean, we moved down to Florida 6 years ago, so we don't go for more than a few hours at a time now.
Yeah,
so,
we'll do 2 or 3 hours.
Open to close for us is unheard of. And I thought the kids were going to hit the wall a lot earlier, and they really hung out. They hung in there the whole day, and you know, we didn't have any issues with meltdowns or anything, so...
But I really feel like the parenting was exceptional. And I know you guys are like that every day. It wasn't just because you're on this Disney trip with the group, but watching you guys interact with your children and the other children from the other families and the respect that you give children and the, you know, allowing them to communicate with you, respecting that communication. And I've been around a lot of families and that's not... That's where you see the point of meltdown occur is when they're not being heard. And there was never a time when anybody within the group didn't feel like they were being heard. And there was no meltdowns because of it. Because even if you were tired or you were hot or you were cranky, somebody still listened to you. Somebody still said, okay, we're going to stop for a minute, or we're going to do this for a minute, or, you know, here's what we can do to help, or what can I do to help? And I think that was a huge thing with the kids, because I fully expected kids to be kids. And yet they were so respectful of everybody around them. And the older ones took the opportunity to, you know, spend time with the younger ones and be good leaders and, you know, support them. Everybody just felt supported and it made a huge difference.
Well, it's really eloquent. I like to think it was just we bought churros and ice cream at every moment the kids started to get a little cranky and we just kind of filled them with sugar and churros at the right times. So, but Cindy, I think from all of us, we'd like to, I mean, those are super kind words, you know, so I don't know if we're worthy of them, but thank you. So, all right. The next day we're at Disney's California Adventure and I had touted that I almost enjoyed Disney's California Adventure more than Disneyland. And I still may think so based on the attractions that are there. So again, we're waking up early. We're setting a time. Let's go eat at the buffet together. So we all meet down at the buffet, maybe a few minutes separation. But if you're not walking in together at this buffet, you're not sitting together. You're lucky to have a family sit here and a family sit 15 feet away here because space is a premium at this place. Though as far as the buffet quality goes at the hotel, correct me. So I'll go last. 0 to 10. Buffet quality was Murray. 6. Give me a number. 6. Krista.
7. 7.
Scott.
Are we comparing it to like other Disney buffets?
Or no,
like,
just in general. Just in general. To Shoney's. You're comparing 5. It to Shoney's.
I'll say 5. 5.
Shannon.
I'd say
about a 5?
5 or 6. Yeah, 5. Yeah.
Okay. Cindy.
I think, like, if you're just comparing it to other hotel breakfasts that may have been available, I'm going to say 8. They had a huge selection of stuff and fresh fruit and pastries. I think they could have done a little better as far as some gluten-free and stuff like that. But there was lots of stuff that we were able to take along for snacks later in the day, too. So that was appreciated.
I'd like to edit mine.
Exactly.
I want to say I was when I said 5, I'm comparing it to like other really like buffet Disney buffets for a free buffet. This was fantastic. I'll give it an 8.
Hashtag thrifty. So, but hashtag that was the thrifty point, right? We're here, right? We know we're going to go all day into this dining, so we better eat breakfast. So, I mean, we're consuming eggs. We're consuming a good quantity every morning for the most part here. And I wouldn't say it's something you're going to tell your friends you have to have this buffet, but if you're there, you're not disappointed when you left the buffet as well, too.
No, I had a orange every single day with my breakfast. And to me, the produce is really what separates like a place where you eat. Like if they're trying to save money, you can usually tell in the produce. And every single day, the orange that I had was ripe and delicious and not bruised. It was just perfect.
Okay. So we're all eating the buffet. We're all waking up and trying to start this day early because we want to get there before the massive crowd gets there and the massive crowd gets to the parks. So we're at Disney's California Adventure. And this park was, I guess it's evolved to how it used to be. And, you know, they've gained Cars Land. They've gained the Marvel, you know, campus. So this park's a little different than it used to be. It still has the boardwalk and the boardwalk attractions, but give me a core memory of not necessarily of the day. It'd be hard to put these days individually, but of California Adventure. Let's go with Krista first. Give me a memory of California Adventure. So I'll put you on the spot. It's like the look of doom. All right. Hang on. We'll buy you some time. We'll go with Murray.
Okay. Go ahead.
Man, I would Incredicoaster is so good. It has everything. It's got a launch. Like it's got every element that I need out of a roller coaster. Like, so you launch really fast and then there's like sweeping hills that like come up into like a large hill where you kind of go sideways and you get a good view and then you come down real fast and then you pick up speed and there's a loop and the loop you go into the loop with enough speed so that it doesn't turn your stomach. You're nice and back in your seat. So you experience the fun of the loop without getting the nausea of a slow loop. And then, right towards the end of the Incredicoaster, you get this up and down, which is almost reminiscent of the way Slinky Dog dashes, where there's like this hill section where mm-hmm. boing, 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 and then it's done. And I rode the Incredicoaster 4 different times and each time Everly wanted to ride with me. So like that was like my daddy daughter ride. Like nice. Absolutely love the Incredicoaster.
Nice. Krista, what's your memory of California Adventure?
So my core memory is going on the swinger side of the
fun wheel.
The pal around.
Yes.
Yes.
That was fun.
Nice. So did you have any preset ideas you were going to do the swinging side, or were you going to just kind of evaluate when you were there?
I wanted to do the swinging side.
That a girl. That a girl. Okay. Cindy, give me a core memory of California Adventure.
Well, it was the second day that we were there, but we had all got together in that Pacific Harbor area for lunch. And then after lunch, the Ghirardelli ice cream menus came out. That was exciting.
Okay. Is that when Scott bought ice cream for everybody?
Scott bought ice cream. That's my memory from DCA. Is Scott buying ice cream for everybody.
So let's just clear the table here. It's like the long running gag that we have for Scott buying ice cream. But Ghirardelli having a $17 sundae, I don't think anyone wanted to present that to Scott as an option today for fear of seeing the sweat bead on his forehead. He says, sure, you can pick an ice cream. So.
Yeah, that was my fears that he was going to say, yeah, I'll do it. And we were all going to be like, no, we're not each going to have a $17 ice cream and put it on Scott's bill. Not going to happen. But it looked really good. And that was actually a fun lunch too. I had the shrimp po' boy and I think Jeremy had that too. There was so much shrimp on it. You had to eat it off with a fork before you could even close the bun. So, and it was on their fresh homemade bread and it was a little bit of a breeze in the area where you guys found the table. And I have to say, like, I have to give a shout out to the guys that were finding the tables because every quick service we managed to eat our whole group of 13 together at tables together. Yeah. I don't know how you guys managed that. Even after I came home, I'm like, how the heck did you do that? And yet we managed to get tables together. I know Jude and Jeremy and Chris.
Everyone
and
did. Some of you we all took perseverance to find the person that was, yes. We all just did it. Yeah.
Shannon and I went one way to grab tables. Chris went another way. We had a table of like 4 and we were waiting for another one. And Chris is messaging us going, hey, I've got 10 over here. So we just dump our tables and run over to Chris.
And Cindy took care of it at the French market. All of a sudden yep. you had 3 or 4 tables together. Yep. And yeah, it was good.
Our secret is find the old person and knock them over. No, that's not the secret, but it could be.
Yeah, well, Shannon. I had a few words with the tables around before you guys got there. Just to scare them away. I was telling them about the rat that Chris had. Yeah.
This guy's a carrier for sure. You want to stay away. Shannon, give me a memory of California Adventure.
So mine is actually Krista's, the pal around. And that's because Chris probably remembers that my son Tyler is a thrill seeker. And we went on the swinging side. I did not necessarily want to do that, but the kids wanted to. They convinced me to do it. And I said, I'll do it once. And the car went kind of almost upside down as it went around the apex at the top of the wheel. And Tyler screamed so loud. And the two kids were just laughing hysterically, equal parts terror and fun. And I won't forget the look on their faces, the two of them. And Chris was sitting next to me and he was laughing because they were just having the time of their lives. So
for sure.
That's a ride that we don't have here. And I've never been on anything like it. So for sure. Yeah,
exactly. That was a great memory too. And I love the attraction. It's equal parts whimsical fun and like absolute sheer terror. And if you've not been at it before, you can't prepare yourself for the sheer terror that's to come, you know? So exactly. Scott, give me a memory.
I had one. I've been waiting since I'm the last one. I've been playing this the whole time. And about 5 seconds ago, a second one popped in my head as well. But okay. my first one I was going to say was going on Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, you know, the Tower of Terror ride, because I'd never been on it before. And I purposely had not watched anything about it. So I didn't know what to expect. So just loving that ride and yelling and enjoying every single scene. And then I pictured Lucy and I getting stuck on the Goofy Sky School together.
For like 20 minutes. Yeah.
Whereas, you know, right before, like we went on it, I mentioned that the last time I went on it, it was uncomfortable for me and we got stuck on the ride and I had to wait a while to be rescued. And then going on the ride again, almost all the way to the end, and then it gets shut down and then we've got to be walked off the ride and evacuated.
Yeah. So every attraction at this park seemed to be better than the last, right? You want to go on the Fun Wheel? Awesome. World-class attraction. You want to go on Incredicoaster? No problem. Do it. You want to go on Radiator Springs Racers? Like, oh my gosh, it completely crushes Test Track. Oh, you want to go to the Guardians Mission Breakout? Like, phenomenal. Like, there's not an attraction you wouldn't ride here that you didn't think to yourself just killed it. Even the Little Mermaid attraction seemed to be nicer and more enjoyable than the one in Florida. Maybe it was just the day. But my memory is this. We went to eat at, what was the restaurant? It was Pixar Lounge. Was that the restaurant?
Lamplight Lounge.
So again, this is a smaller restaurant, but it's designed kind of funky where like there's some space upstairs and there's more space downstairs and it shoots off kind of towards the water. And we had two broken apart reservations and the Furioli's and Murray's ate at one table. And then Cindy and the Malik's waited for a little bit and they said, okay, your table is served. And they brought us over to couches and we were going to have to eat on these lounge couches with no table. And we didn't even get seated. I told the waiter, I said, we'll wait. I was like, we can't eat there. I'm not going to spend that kind of money and have to eat on our laps. So we waited in the waiting room. They just backed us out a little bit and he said, we'll get you a table. The guy was super understanding. He wasn't snooty. He wasn't angry. He wasn't pompous about that. He was pretty good about that, right, Cindy? He was like, I completely understand. I'm sorry. We'll find you another spot. And they seated us outside, literally right next to the water. And the sun was in our eyes. So you're like, okay, it'll go down. One of the other servers came out and said, like, buy us like 13 minutes. I promise you, it will sink right below the hotel in 13 minutes. And true to form, it sunk right below the hotel. My memory maybe of the trip was dining with Cindy and the sun was setting. The water was perfect. It was chilly. Like it was just the right ambiance. We had a great meal. And here's the kicker. Like we couldn't have had a better meal. Our meal at that restaurant, Cindy, was like phenomenal. We couldn't stop raving about the food that we had. We may have had a beer or two in us at that point too as well, so they might have served us White Castle and Cindy and I would have been saying it was phenomenal. So whatever, we're gonna get past that. But just that memory, I will always remember that and that memory of just sitting there and enjoying that meal. But let's segue that. So we're at Lamplight Lounge. Scott and Shannon, what do you what was your memory of Lamplight Lounge?
we had a really, really cool booth kind of by itself, a U-shaped booth with a cool, really awesome table that had like all the Pixar cars like embedded underneath the plexiglass top. And there were the Pixar balls like around, like everything was themed really well. And it was especially great for the kids because I know our kids, I think Evie was pointing out like cars that they used to have when they were younger and stuff. And I hated the fact that they split us up. It bothered me the whole time, but we really enjoyed hanging out with the Murrays and being in that little section. It was a great booth. And then you're sending us pictures over and I'm like, man, they've got this beautiful on the water table as well. So I knew you guys were happy too, but yeah, it was overall great experience.
What about the food? What did you think of the food? We'll get to Jeremy. And what did you personally think of the food there?
I think at the Lamplight Lounge, I had a burger and it was pretty decent. It was messy. I think it had like guacamole and stuff on it. So I had to eat it with a fork and knife. But I thought it was decent. I was not personally blown away by the food there. I know I spoke to you a couple times afterwards. I know you – I want to take away from you right now. But I was like, I know you had a great time. And I thought my food personally was fair.
Yeah.
You do the same way?
Yeah. They have a special potato skins appetizer. Oh, that's right. I had it. It was spicier than I expected, and it made it almost to the point where I couldn't really eat it. I don't know if it had peppercorns or something in it that I wasn't expecting. Our server was a little on the not as nice side. It wasn't awful. It wasn't a bad server by any means. You guys seemed to have a much, much better experience than what we had.
I know Jeremy had to lasso our server to bring him over.
So. Really, Jeremy? That was your experience, Jeremy? You had to kind of force the server to come over?
I'm not – it's not that hard for me to get someone's attention, and I had to try a couple times.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. What did you guys think of the food? Krista, what did you think of the food at Lamplight Lounge?
I really liked the food. I had the lobster nachos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I had the lobster nachos. Did I? No, I had a lot of your lobster nachos. I had I had the potato skins. Well, see, that's the thing is Krista eats like a bird. So like half the time she'll get an app and then I'll get a meal and then we'll split it, or she'll get the meal and I'll get an app and then we'll split it. Because after five or six bites, Krista's usually like, oh, I'm full, and there's no way I'm paying $28 for five or six.
It's your civic duty to finish that meal and get your money's worth,
and
right?
So, like, I know I had lobster nachos, but I don't see. It's funny that she remembers the lobster nachos being good, and I don't. And now looking back, what might have happened is she ate all the lobster, the good parts off, and then was pretty much like cat food. Because I remember thinking, like, I'm like, there's nothing on the plate that resembles lobster. Maybe there's some like flaked tuna fish, but there's no lobster on this thing. I'm very disappointed. Yes, I think that's what happened. Anyway,
don't hate the player, hate the game, son, right? That's all Krista was saying to you. You know, she picked it up first. So,
yeah.
Cindy, what was your memory of Vampire Lounge?
In the moment, so fast, and I'm kind of slow that it's hard for me to keep up, but I believe this has clarified my experience.
Okay.
My Cindy, memory of Lamplight Lounge was very good. It was one of my favorite meals. I enjoyed the potato skins, but Shannon's right. They were not as represented. They were quite spicy. They had a chili powder on them and then a spicy dip that went with them. You had ordered a couple of starters, and one of them was the Brussels sprouts that were so good that I just kept eating and eating and eating. So that was really good. And I had the lobster nachos and really enjoyed them and had a fair bit of lobster on mine. So I would suggest that they did come out with lobster on. But our server was excellent. Jude was collecting the little coasters. Thank you.
Coasters,
she just, every time she'd come over, she'd take a couple out of her pocket and throw it on the table for him and not set anything on it so that he could get them without the water ring on him and stuff. So he ended up getting quite a few of the coasters. And she was constantly telling us little bits about what was going on and working there and stuff like that. So it was a very good meal.
It was at this point that I realized maybe the Maloks are just really easy to please when it comes to food. As like every meal is like, oh, this is the best meal ever. Like, give me that old banana peel. Like, oh, that's a great banana peel. I gotta have more.
It's because when you leave the Maliks on their own, they end up going to a place that charges $6 for the meal. When you go to a place that charges like $18 to $22 for a meal, you guys think you're in the Taj Mahal. Right?
But I was happy with the buffet too. I was like, this is a great buffet. So maybe it's just our taste need to evolve. But I remember that scene, that nighttime, that twilight and over the water. Like, I'll remember that for a long time. So, and Scott, I don't want to, I'd be remiss not to go and chime in on yours as well too. Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, I think, set a bar for like the group for doing an attraction. I don't know if Krista went on. She waited through the queue with Beatrice one time. But as far as what attraction like can do, as far as like having fun, just a sheer fun level, that attraction is like all about like laughing and having a good time with like zero terror, despite the fact that it's a drop tower with like zero terror involved. Just comedic timing, rock and roll, and like just a fun attraction. So
I was just smiling the entire time.
Mm-hmm. And I hate Tower of Terror. Yeah, I won't go on it. I hate it. And I would go on Guardians of the Galaxy over and over again.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of fun when your soul leaves your body for seconds at a time and it comes back.
So very true.
So can I on that ride? I went on it twice. The first time I did I've got a big guy trick for putting on a seatbelt. What I do is I stand up, I pull the seatbelt all the way out, and then I hold the seatbelt all the way around, but I put it almost like around my knees and I click the buckle in. And then I sit in the seat, feed it up my knees and put it on my waist. And that's how I make sure that I can get it buckled, because a lot of times the seats are so narrow that I can't just pull it around me and click it in because I can't find the click in place next to me because I'm just a wide person. And so I did my cool little put my seatbelt around the knee trick on the first ride through. And there was like 6 or 8 inches of extra slack when we went on that thing. And so the first ride through, I'm a hands up on the ride kind of person usually. And so I go to put my hands up in the air and I went flying up in the air. I mean, flying up in the air. And the rest of the ride, I was like white knuckling, holding on to those bars that are at the side. And it was really cool and fun, but it was terrifying. And then when I got off, I looked and I saw the pictures and I saw Chris and Lisa in the back seat and they had their hands in the air like warrior kings and queens. Their hands to the sky, and I was so jealous of that picture, and I'm like, man, I was gonna poop myself, and those guys were living their best lives. And then when we went on it again, I'm like, this time I am going to have my hands up and I'm gonna sit in that ride. And I rode it the next time and my hands never touched the bar, and I was big boy proud of myself.
Well, you knew what to prepare for, right? That was the
one extra tug on that seatbelt just so I was a little more prepared. Gotcha. But Chris, you and Lisa were my heroes on that first ride through. Your ride picture from that is like, I want to put your ride picture on my fridge. That is awesome.
Okay. So here we go. Now, this is the point, though, of the trip where we're repeating parks now, right? And I know we're already at an hour, but you know, we got a lot more to talk about. So if you're with us this long, just hang with us. We're still in California. This is the point of the trip where I'm starting to wonder, all right, all the families have been together for a few days now. Are we going to start to get bored, not of each other in the conversation, but of the attractions and things to do together, right? So we're heading to the park, and I come up with this goofy idea. Let's have a scavenger hunt, right? So we'd again be remiss not to talk about the scavenger hunt. I'm just trying to have some fun, right? So we got a bunch of crazy families together, and here's the idea of the scavenger hunt. You're essentially searching for garbage. That's the nice way to say it. So you're looking on the ground. You're looking on the garbage can, not in the garbage can, on the garbage can. You're looking on the side. You're looking for anything that might be lost that you could take possession of. Obviously, no theft, no thievery involved here, but something you can claim. And the idea was you were going to go and try and find the most valuable junk, discarded garbage, or otherwise immeasurable treasure of the day. And by a unanimous vote, we have to decide who is the treasure winner, right, of the day. So all of a sudden, we're scouring for like a pin or like a pinback or like a quarter or a nickel. And we're coming up with nothing for right now, but we know the idea in theory works. And all of us are on the ride for Indiana Jones. And all of a sudden, we get a text, despite the fact that Indiana Jones is built with like 750 million cubic, like, concrete. You know, we get a text from Krista saying, is this worth anything? But we can't see what it is. It's just this weird metal. We can't see. Did she find a medallion? Or like, sweet tap dancing Jesus, she's going to win right now. Well, we end up finding it was a pacifier, right, Krista? She found a pacifier, but now the game's on, right? Now we're like resigning. We're finding something that has to be the pacifier. That's the leading contestant right now, is a pacifier. So we're all scouting for things, right? And there's one of them right there. So we're all looking for stuff throughout the day. So let's just put that on the side, right? We're all scouting instead of looking at the scenery, the music, the attractions. We're scouring the garbage and the cans for scavenger hunt. But you know what? Honestly, it's like change the perspective of the vacation, right? We were all, and here's another thing too. I didn't realize these people were so crazy for pins. Murray and Cindy, like Shannon are like pin crazy. And I love it. But we didn't know you guys were going to be trading pins. And we're like crazy pin family too as well. So we didn't bring any pins. So Shannon saved our bacon and like gave us some pins to trade on that trip. Disneyland proudly trades pins. Everybody's got them, right? Every cast member's got a pin board and a lanyard. Walt Disney World, not so much right now. So yeah. If you want to do pin trading, it's a completely different world on the West Coast than the East Coast.
Yes.
So it's hard to say a memory on this day, but let's just go through some things. First time through for Mr. Toad for you, right, Cindy? First attraction through?
It was for that Mr. Toad, for Alice in Wonderland, for Snow White.
Gotcha.
All first times for me.
We're on Big Thunder. We're on Haunted Mansion. We're on all the heavy hitters. And the day is just as good as the first day. And we may have paid a little closer to attention to details. Wouldn't you guys agree on that day that we're paying pretty close attention to details and we're just kind of savoring as we're going along, right?
I'm not paying attention to details. I'm scouring in the garbage. I'm looking at bushes, trying to find anything. You know, they always say, you know, look up, look, you know, look down, look everywhere to, you know, pick in, you know, take in all the atmosphere of Disneyland. And I am just sitting there trying to beat Chris, because at this point, Chris has found the bride Mickey ears.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. So hang on. Let's get to that in a second. We eat at the French Market. The French Market was a little underwhelming. Wouldn't we agree? Yeah. It was good, passable, but not great. Yeah. Wouldn't we all agree on that?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Gotcha.
But we got to have the Mickey beignets together, which was nice.
This is true. So
I enjoyed beignets. I thought they were fluffy and delicious.
they were good. The beignets were good for sure. So give me one second here. I want to go make sure I have this timeline correct. We end up in the Haunted Mansion soon afterwards, right? We end up at the Haunted Mansion and we're through the ride. And if we're through the ride, I look down at the very end and I see a discarded set of mouse ears, and they're bride ears and Scott's in the car next to me in the dune buggy. And as I show Scott, I could literally see him saying, "Son of," as he looks at me with this vitriol, as I take possession of these mouse ears. So at that point, that's the highlighter of the day. Now we're finding other things throughout the day. Now this is all in jest, right? Nothing is too serious here. We're all just having fun. We find a hat. Shannon finds a hat, right? It was a baseball hat, Shannon, that you found, or a bucket hat. You found a bucket hat, right?
Yeah, bucket hat.
You found a bucket hat. Mm-hmm. And Krista still has her medallion from the Temple of Ra over there. So she has her. Murray, did you find anything on the first day at all?
I don't think I found anything on the first day. It set me on fire for day two, though.
Cindy. it made you angry. Cindy, did you find anything on the first
day? No, I didn't find anything on the first day either. I was lax on the first day. I kind of got into it the second day.
Yeah, exactly. So the first day goes along, and I think that is the highlight of the first day, is the fact that we had these things. But now the bar is set for the next day, right? We have one more day and the bar is set.
Everybody's a little competitive, so we're like, all right, now it's on.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Now, that day, though, the highlight of the meal was the Blue Bayou restaurant. So we're all at the Blue Bayou restaurant. And this is, if you've not been to Disneyland, we're inside the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction. You're literally at the front of the line. You're seeing the boats launch through the bayou and whatnot. And that's the catch. And I'm not going to lie, it's very expensive. It's it was the most expensive restaurant that we ate at individually, you know, for that trip. Mm-hmm. And they're famed for, how'd you describe it?
Hold on, Chris. Certainly the most I've ever paid for a single chicken finger.
Yes.
Exactly. What are they famed for, guys? What is their meal? What is their sandwich that they're known for? The Monte Cristo. And what'd you describe it as? How was your description?
I didn't know what a Monte Cristo was. I just always heard people say, oh, I'll have the Monte Cristo. And it sounds fancy. And so I got a Monte Cristo. And it turns out that it's a ham and cheese donut.
It is a ham and cheese donut.
I think I got three ham and cheese donuts, so it was really good.
You got a sweet dipping sauce? Was that what the Monte Cristo had?
Yes.
Raspberry dipping sauce.
And it has... Now, as a vegetarian, they didn't have a lot of options. So we ended up going with this fava bean pesto. And we kept our fingers crossed because it was like $29 each plate. Now, I'm not a cheap guy. It was okay. I'm okay with that. But for combined $60-ish, we want that pasta to taste good, right? So we're keeping our fingers crossed it comes to the table. And so they bring all this food out. And I do want to say one thing, too. They warned us about the kids' size portions here.
Yes.
And so they said, you don't want to order a kid size. You may want to order an adult size entree because the kid size is really, really small. She was forthright in that, probably because she had been yelled at many times before when they brought the kids. They are not lying. The kid's portion is redonkulous.
Yeah.
Shannon, describe in terms of coin size how big that chicken was that your son ordered, please. I mean, are we talking a Sacagawea golden dollar here was about right or maybe a little larger?
Yeah, Tyler got the cheeseburger. I mean, it was like a little, probably bigger than a silver dollar, but...
It was essentially like a White Castle slider.
It was like a White Castle slider. It's and, I mean, he ate it in two bites. He was done. And then it had two carrots that were actually larger than the burger themselves. And maybe four or five strawberries. And two of them were white. They were not even close to being ripe yet. So
okay.
For what, $12?
Something like that.
I think it was about $12 for that. Yeah.
Jeremy, what did Ev order on that meal? Do you know what she ordered?
Yeah, that was Ev got the chicken. Well, it said chicken fingers,
right?
And it, which with an S on it, which where I come from is plural,
right?
Fingers, not chicken finger. What we got is one middle chicken finger.
Yes.
Gotcha. I don't remember what Beatrice ordered. I don't remember her being unhappy, but she's generally happy at a restaurant. But my kids, obviously, they got the adult size portion. Cindy, what did you order that day? Was it the Monte Cristo or did you get something different?
No, that was the meal that I missed. I had gone back early to the hotel and had a nap.
Gotcha. So you went back and had a nap. And Krista, were you napping as well, too, at that time?
Yes.
Gotcha. They had enough of our scavenger hunt and said, enough of these fools, we're getting out of here. So Monte Cristo's was Murray had a Monte Cristo. Jeremy, Scott, did you have a Monte Cristo?
Yep.
Yes,
we both did.
Scott did. Mm-hmm. Shannon did. I think Jude might have had one as well, too. I'm not sure what Lucy ordered, but again, the fava bean pesto.
No, I think Jude and Lucio both had one. I think
they might have. They both might have had one. But even after getting the meal, I think the Monte Cristo was good. I don't know if it was great. Good, great. What do you guys think?
I didn't find it great. Yeah. I thought it was decent. I mean, it's a lot because you know it's fried and battered, and it's you know it's one of those things. I think that you'd be happier probably just having probably a couple bites of it and then eating something that didn't make you feel as gross.
Yeah, it's very heavy.
it's very heavy and fried, and it's, you know, for your dinner, you're like, oh, I'm eating a fried donuts here. It's like,
I think it was the best ham and cheese donut I've ever had.
That's a very exclusive company that it's around, right? The fava bean pesto was phenomenal. So if you're there and you see it looking on the menu and you're like, this is kind of weird, kind of hokey, it's good. It's good eating.
I would say Chris was nice enough to allow me to try it. And fava bean pesto, there is no chance I would have ever ordered that. And I thought that was so much better than what I ordered. His pasta was fantastic.
Okay. Let's move into the final day then, right? We're a California adventure, if you guys don't mind at this point. And we're going on some of the similar attractions before. We're on Web Slingers for the first time, right? So we all rode Web Slingers, and it was Cindy's favorite attraction. It was really cool. Web Slingers requires you to actually, I mean, you are tired based on your hand movement, trying to shoot webs with your fingers. So you're physically almost exhausted, you know, for the 3 minutes of constant cardio that you're getting on this attraction. But remember, we're competing in scavenger hunt. And if you could see the video, you'd see Murray with his proud mini ears that he brought to the table that put an immediate damper on everybody who wanted to compete in the scavenger hunt, right? This is the leader in the clubhouse.
He earned those ears too, because he literally dove over railings, through gulches, over another railing to grab them and then come back to where we were in line.
Nice.
Bravo. Bravo.
Thank you. As soon as I saw them, I briefly looked at the obstacles and I'm like, I can scale every one of those. I know it. And I just went for it.
So remember, this is the highlight of the day, is this goofy thing. We're meeting Tony Stark. Nah, was that a highlight? No, that wasn't a highlight. We're meeting every character known to man, right? We're meeting Merida. Nah, that's not a highlight. We're not worried about that stuff. So it was all good. We had a great last day. By the way, if you've never been to California, the weather is pretty consistent. It's literally 88 degrees and sunny every day, followed by 63 degrees every night. It's what it seemed like, at least, correct? I mean, it was hot.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it was wonderful. It was humidity. Hot, yeah, no humidity. It's beautiful.
I love those mornings and those nights. Those were really nice.
But we're starting to get tired. We've been putting at it for 3 days of 12 hours at a park. And on this day, we got to about our 8th hour, and I think our battery packs were just about run down, and we had Ralph Brennan's to go to, and Ralph Brennan's was in Downtown Disney. But just before we went to Ralph Brennan's, we figured, let's maybe do a ride or two on the Incredicoaster, and let's use the bathroom by there. And all of a sudden, Murray's scavenger hunt dreams were crushed as Cindy shows a phone. Somehow she acquires a phone. Tell us the story of this, Cindy.
Yeah, the story is the best part.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't even know how I got the phone. I went to the bathroom. I came out of the bathroom and I had two phones in my pocket, and one of them wasn't mine. And so all I can assume is that the other person had set their phone down on top of the paper holder. I had set mine on top of it, not realizing it was there, then just picked mine up. Either that, or I had left mine in my pocket, saw a phone there, thought it was mine, just picked it up and stuck it in my pocket. But it wasn't until I got out of the bathroom that I realized I had a phone and it wasn't mine. And I'm like, how did I get this phone? Am I holding a phone for somebody in the group? Did somebody hand me their phone? So I pick it up and it's a family. I have no idea who they are. Comes up on the screen. So I'm like, okay, I got to go back to the bathroom and somebody's going to be looking for their phone.
Hold on. Before she went back to the bathroom, fair and square, she had taken possession of the phone. I had her hold up both phones as the trophies, and we got photo evidence so that she could win the contest, the scavenger hunt.
So if this sounds like a good plan for your family on vacation, just fun, just realize you have to compete against a $1,200 phone that Cindy seemed to acquire on vacation. So the road is steep to compete against that phone. I'm just going to state that. Cindy,
you had your opportunity to jump in the river and get that $100 bill out of the fountain, but nobody was willing to go in there.
So that was either like great like coincidence or like you're like the greatest Victorian age like pot picker of all time. You know, just there it is. Here's the winner. So we exited the park. We're tired, right? I'm not overstating that at this point. We did shopping. We shopped whenever we wanted. That was the cool part. Attraction, okay. Shopping, we'll all go to the store. We all did a little shopping. And it hurt our pocketbook at various points, you know, to do the shopping. But, you know, it is what it is. But we decided to leave because we're going to go to Ralph Brennan's. And now, I'll be honest, this was the one that made me nervous too, because it was my choice outside of the parks. We're taking time away from our tickets. But I love, I've never been to New Orleans. I love the thought of New Orleans. I love the spirit. And in theory, I love the music of New Orleans. Never eaten a New Orleans restaurant in my life. So here I'm going to drag all my friends to this New Orleans restaurant. I've never eaten New Orleans, you know, food in my life. Though I like spicy food. I genuinely like jambalaya minus the andouille sausage. I like that kind of food. We get there and they weren't able to seat us. They sat the Murrays in a table right next to a table of like 10 of us. As this restaurant, it was busy. It was dinner time. It was like the earliest reservation, right? It was 6 o'clock or even earlier than that, right, Shannon? It was an early reservation.
Yeah, I think we had two reservations. One was for 5:15 and one was for 6. So we weren't able to get them any closer together, but Jeremy went ahead and worked some magic to get them to seat us at the same time, albeit not together.
I'm honestly, guys, I feel like we were pretty close together. If someone from your table reached out their hand and I put out my hand, we would have been holding hands.
Yeah,
for sure. Right next to each other.
If I had sat at one end of that long table, I would have been further away at the same table than I was, because our table was in the middle. So I was within 7 feet of everybody.
Yeah.
Correct. So special shout out to Ralph Brennan's Jazz Kitchen for their men's bathroom, which is the greatest bathroom I've ever seen in my life, as it's designed like a swamp with a mosaic alligator on the wall and swamp scenes. It was like the bathroom that I designed for my house that no one would ever let me design for my house. But the food was, at least in my opinion, maybe I was tired, maybe I was hot. I thought the food was really good, really enjoyable. Give me some descriptions on the food, guys. Cindy, what do you think about the food at Ralph Brennan's?
I thought it was excellent the whole evening, the atmosphere, the music. I loved the music. I think I was annoying Scott and Shannon a little bit with driving to the music, but it was really nice. They had a piano player there playing some jazz, and it was nice. And I just, again, tired, hot. We'd been eating a fair bit. I just ordered an appetizer starter for my meal. And had the calamari, and it was excellent. It was some of the best calamari I've ever had. It was very delicious. And the drinks were good. They just kept bringing like soda and stuff like that. I can't remember whether I had iced tea or soda that night, but they were refilling and lots of water. And the music was good. The atmosphere was really nice. So the women's washroom also had the swamp motif with frogs watching you go to the bathroom.
So nice. It was so classy, so nice. I loved it.
So, and door handles that you couldn't get out of. Everybody got locked in the door.
Shannon was nervous to eat here. She's not a spicy fan. Murray's not a spicy fan, right? So you guys were a little nervous about eating here and needed to consult the waiter. And so Shannon, Scott, talk about the food.
So, yes, to say that I don't like spicy food is, I mean, I can't even really tolerate black pepper. Like I can't take spice at all. So I was very nervous. Everything on the menu sounds super spicy. The waiter came over and I said, look, I'm going to be frank. I can't eat spicy food. What can you guys do? He said, everything except for two items on the menu could be completely spice free. He said, whatever you want, except for these two specific things that we can't change the way that they're made. We can make them without any spice. So, they had a macaroni and cheese on their menu that seemed really, really interesting. Was it
the chicken?
It had, yes, it was chicken and bacon and macaroni and cheese. And Gouda. I told him, whatever your chef thinks is mild, tell him to make it even less mild, like even more mild. Like that's really my level. It was phenomenal. It was absolutely delicious. I probably never would have ordered it on my own. And it was my favorite meal of the week. So it was absolutely great.
I had the jambalaya. I can tolerate some spice. I thought the jambalaya was just okay. I know Jude absolutely loved it. I thought it was decent, spicy. I tried Shannon's food. That was Shannon's meal was by far my favorite meal of the entire week as well. I ended up eating probably half of her dinner, and I left half or three quarters of mine. I didn't eat the jambalaya as much. It was decent. But after eating hers, I was like, oh, that's what I want to eat. It was absolutely fantastic.
Okay, so let's just make sure we paint this picture accurately, Scott. It wasn't until about maybe a third way through the meal where Shannon was like tapping out that I see you go across like a Hoover vacuum to claim her plate, to put it in front of you into eating mode at this point. That was not going to go to waste. It was definitely not going to go to waste at that point.
Good man, Scott. Good man.
I would use the word tapping out.
I think I ripped it away from her.
This is true. I was trying to be nice.
I gave in. It was like, oh. He wants it.
I was trying to be nice.
You can have it. I could see that he just was not enjoying his meal.
I was like, here, sweetie, you can have my spicy jambalaya.
Not even a little bit.
This thing that will cause you gastric distress. But we have yours. So, no, I get that. Jeremy and Krista, what'd you guys have?
Oh, okay.
What'd you have?
I had the fried chicken Caesar salad. And it was okay.
We had an appetizer of the calamari also. I agree with Cindy. It was probably top five. Like Krista's thing is whenever we're at a restaurant with calamari, we automatically order the calamari. It's like if there's a calamari app, then we just get it. And I
want to add that the Murrays were really nice and allowed us to have some of their calamari as well. Yeah. And we thought it was some of the best calamari
I've ever had.
So thank you, Murrays, as well. It was wonderful.
Oh, you're very welcome. Yeah. So top five in the calamari. And the burger, Shannon filled me in. I didn't know that they could do anything more bland, but Shannon let me know, and I was super happy about that. And I had already settled on a burger that they have, and when I got it, I was just like, I'm punting basically by ordering a burger. I was gonna order the burger and then have them hold off the pepper jack cheese. But they like totally altered it. They put like American cheese on it and they did something else different to it. That was the single best burger I've ever had in 20 years on Disney property. Most of the Disney property burgers, like they kind of smush them so tight that there's no, there's not usually a lot of juice left in them, and you can't, like the marbling of the meat is usually like crushed out of it in a lot of Disney burgers that I'm used to. But this burger still, it was like it was made from hamburger. You know what I'm saying? Like it would, like you could tell it was like recently meat that was formed into a burger. And it was very juicy. I asked for it medium. It was cooked medium. And it was, even though I got it without the spice, it was very flavorful. It had a good char on it. Like it was a very delicious cheeseburger. Like, very good.
Okay. We did try. We all were kind of queuing up some desserts. So this is probably a part of the show that maybe Jeremy doesn't want to have said, but we're going to say it anyway. So during vacation, right, every kid is my kid. Every kid is Scott's kid, Shannon's kid, you know, Krista's kid. The kids want churros. Here we go. Five churros. Your kids want some ice cream. Here's some ice cream. You know, we're all able to buy. No one cares. Money means nothing. We're on vacation. We're enjoying ourselves, right? So we're eating this meal, and we're going around. I'm like, yeah, bring out how many beignets do we want? Like I'm a king of freaking Siam, right? And we're getting this menu. And all of a sudden, this bill is going to be a whopper. But we're only taking care of our families, right? We're not thinking of this like any other way. The waiter comes after we've consumed like 7,000 calories, and we're like, okay, so we have these. Here he looks at us and he goes, oh no, the bill's already been paid. We can include the bill for the group. So in a move that's like the strongest strong arm and the sweetest thing ever, like I will always remember that, being like, wait a minute, hang on. And here we're ordering extra beignets, and I felt so guilty immediately that I had done that. But it was like,
it was but what you didn't catch was the side intrigue that was going on. The guy like scurried over to me and goes, the gentleman has ordered extra beignets and would like to pay for them. And I and I'm like, well, tough luck for the gentleman, isn't it? No, like the waiter guy was trying to be like smooth and sophisticated and slipped me like whatever. I went full redneck on it. It was amazing.
That was hysterical. So you know, Jeremy paid for that last meal and the last meal on vacation. And You know, honestly, we said thank you, right? It was, but like, it doesn't convey like the appropriate thank you, because the appropriate thank you that we have is like, thank you for everybody for watching my kids. Thank you for Cindy for becoming an aunt, and Shannon and Krista for becoming the coolest aunts ever. And like, you know, Scott and Murray being coming like the coolest uncles. And I'm so appreciative of that meal. I'm so appreciative of that time, of these people. Like, it like completely changed my perspective on vacationing as a group. And I don't know if it's because we all communicated in advance and we set like appropriate expectations for how we're going to communicate, how we're going to eat, how we're going to do things. But it changed my perspective of what it could be. Cause we've been to a big EDCOT vacation. Small groups went here. Small groups went here. Some groups are frustrated because their buddies were commandos for the park. Some groups wanted to do this and it worked. It did. It does work. But this was going to be like something different, and it freaking worked. And like when we came back to the hotel room, we weren't frustrated. We weren't mad. Yeah. We were tired. Like we were physically exhausted from the day, but it was a shared exhaustion and a shared walk back. And that was like the coolest feeling. So like I'm indebted to you guys for so many things, meal included for sure. But like that is definitely like I'm indebted to you guys for the vacation. So
I with that, you're welcome. First of all, you're welcome. But it doesn't, for me, like it was, that was like the culmination of like an emotional high that I knew, like we were going to go the next day with the Feroli family. We're going to go to Disney Springs. But like, I knew that that was the last time we're all going to be chilling out together. So I was like, my heart was so full, I wanted to throw out a big, like, just a nice gesture. Like, what's the nicest thing you can do? Okay, this is the nicest thing I can do. I'll do it. But, like, I'm an uncle. Like, my family is a huge family. Like, I'm an uncle 18, 19 times over. And, like, I feel like that you guys all let me become, like, that for your kids. And, like, the kid hanging out with the adults is awesome because you guys all have your like life experiences. But I came from like a really big family myself, and now my little family, it's hard to get lost in my herd. You know what I'm saying? Like it's me and Krista and Everly, and sometimes like we split, you know, Everly will ride with me one ride and then Everly will ride with Krista on the next ride or something like that. But when I went with this big group of people, like no matter who I was riding with in that ride, if I was riding with Cindy, if I was riding with Scott, if I was riding with Shannon, if I was riding with Krista or Everly or you, like I was always riding with my favorite person. Like at that moment in that ride, I was always with my favorite person. And I don't even mean to get choked up over it, but like, I love all you guys. I love all your guys' kids. And that vacation was awesome.
Scott, Shannon, Cindy, anything you got here, guys?
I mean, Jeremy's summed it up as perfectly and eloquently as I ever could. I wasn't sure what to expect going in. And I mean, I was blown away and thrilled with everything. You know, you always picture, and like the other group vacations that have happened down in Disney World, like, you know, we live down here, so we have not been staying on property or been involved in anything like this. You know, we meet up with people or go to dinner with somebody, but we never had an experience like this. And I mean, we had an absolute fantastic time. It blew away anything we expected. Whenever you go with a bunch of families, I mean, in all honesty, you know, there's plenty of opportunities where stuff could go awry and nothing really did ever, you know, where people, you know, this person's sick of this, or, you know, they're going to split up and do this right. There was really none of that. We pretty much stayed together as a group for 90% of it. And everybody was happy. Everybody was having fun. And just like, I sit there and I go, you know, I would love to do this again. I don't, you know, it's going to be weird almost going away by ourselves just because of how much fun we had. And, you know, it's just, I can't thank everybody enough for making it such a wonderful trip.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I mean, I've already started crying 3 times while doing this recording. So if I say anything else, I know for a fact I'm going to start crying. It was amazing. I'm eternally grateful to each and every one of you for what a wonderful week we had.
Cindy, yeah, I feel exactly the same, that it's it was precious time, core memories. I still can't believe that it happened, that we all got to be part of it, that it was, you know, it's better than could have ever expected. And it was definitely, you know, it had Disney at the core, but it was so much more than that.
Okay, before we leave, I'm going to ask you guys all to go over three words to describe the vacation. But I've got one more story for you, okay? Because you said nothing went awry. But that's not true. Something did go awry, and I've got one more story to tell, okay? And here's my story. So you guys know me. I love buying things. I'm a shopper at heart. Like, if I see it, I've got to acquire it. I must have it. I went, like, the first 2.5 days, and I bought zero, which for me is like a record. You might want to check my pulse. I bought zero. But I was walking through California Adventure, and I spied this really cool jacket that I wanted to have. And let me describe it. It was like one of those cool, like, Baja, like, almost like burlap, but like kind of like something you would see back from like 1992. Can you picture the material? I'm not even sure if I'm describing it, a poncho. And it was teal, and it was beige with black stripes, and it had Mickey heads on these black stripes. And I was like, you know, that's really pretty cool. I was like, it's got Mickey heads. It's pretty original. I'm going to buy this thing. So as we walk by it, we see, I don't know, maybe 10, 12, 15 of them. In my mind's eye, I'm like, I'm going to acquire this thing later on. So that's the first mistake. The second mistake is we're talking about it, and all of a sudden, Krista says, you know, I saw it too. And I was thinking about buying it. And I was like, all right. So the group goes in one direction, and Krista and I are like, okay, heck with you guys. We're going back to buy ourselves some ponchos. So Krista and I hightail it down this Paradise Pier to go and buy these ponchos. And we get there, and it's the first rule of, like, Disney shopping. Like, if you see it, you've got to buy it because it's not going to be there. Oh, come on. We're Disney veterans. It's going to be there. It wasn't freaking there. We go there, and there's two left, and it's like one is like extra, extra, extra small. Right, Krista? And yeah. One is like seven extra large, like the sizes nobody could possibly use. And literally, like, our, like, sadness was palpable. So we asked the guy, hey, do you have any more in the background? Now, before we actually get the answer, all of a sudden we get this hysterical kid and this, like, pseudo, like guardian watching over this kid. And there was a lost kid. And so all of a sudden we're like it was a traumatic moment in our life. We're like, oh my gosh, this kid's not going to find his dad. And all of a sudden the dad came over and found this kid. Little side detail. And then this shop worker, like with the sound of angels, says, oh, I think we do have some extras in the back. And all of a sudden, Krista and I, like our attitudes are buoyed. We're going to get these ponchos. He brings one out in Krista's size. Oh my gosh. Krista held it over me. She's wearing it on the plane home, taking pictures. I get denied. Krista gets the poncho. I brought it up to her, and she has this poncho now, which she'll probably hold over me forever at this point. So it did go awry. I'm glad one of my really good friends has it and I don't, but yeah, not everything went smoothly. I'm just going to leave it right there. So I'm just going to leave it. It was a wah-wah for sure. So anyways, all right, let's describe this in three words. Let's go first here. Cindy, describe the whole vacation or a tip or an attraction or something in three words, please.
Oh, wait a minute. Are we going to gloss over the single best yes. meal that we had during that vacation?
The one that was my
you
pick?
You have to tell me what it is.
Nacho del Nacho.
Oh.
After the guys took off and left all by ourselves, we went to the Springs. And Scott had this restaurant he had hidden up his pocket or hidden up his sleeve. And we went there. And it was, Krista, was it? Everly said it was her favorite meal.
It was my favorite meal.
Where was it at, guys? Where was the location?
So at the Tortilla Joe's, I think is the name of the restaurant. But they have a place next door called the Taqueria. We had seen it on one of our snack videos that we watched leading up to the trip.
Okay.
And they have make your own nachos and tacos and burritos and things of that nature. And it's $10. For this giant tray of nachos, like the biggest nachos we've
$10, good deal.
Anyway, Yeah.
Kind of like a Chipotle. You know, they get the nachos and you walk, you know, they walk over, you know, which meats do you want and which all the
cheese,
stuff. You
add toppings.
Everything on top of it. Yeah. I saw a line. I think it was the first day when we were walking through downtown Disney. I said to Jeremy, I said, you know, when it's our day, we're going to stop at that place. They got nachos for $10, you know, hashtag thrifty, these big nacho thing. And yeah, we thought it was fantastic as well.
I'm glad we didn't have those until the last day, because I would have kept wanting to, I would have kept thinking that maybe that would be a good lunch and we'd have to leave the park to go to
every day
nacho. Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Sorry for derailing the three words thing.
No, let's just describe the vacation in three words. And then after we're done, if anyone has any questions about Disneyland, we're not experts. We're just four families who just had a really cool time, but we do have some tips and we do have some hints. So if you have any questions, Cindy's in Edcot, Scott and Shannon are in Edcot, as well as Disney Vacation Club Resales, DVC, buy and sell, and DVC-rental.com, both resale companies. Krista is in Edcot. Murray's in Dave's Ice Cream Social and in Edcot, as well as a bunch of other Disney groups who will recognize us all there. So reach out to us, direct message us if you have questions on that. But three words, Cindy, describe the vacation.
Best vacation ever.
Wow. High words. Wow. Shannon. All right.
I don't know. I don't like being put on the spot.
Okay, we'll give you a second or two here. We'll go to the guys that are used to being put on the spot. Scott.
It might sound corny, but family, friends, fun.
Perfect. Jeremy.
And nachos.
Pin trading. Scavenger hunt. Best time ever.
All counts. So here's the cool thing about these guys so far. You notice how, like, the attractions and parks, none of it matters. It was the time and the things we did together while we're there that made it the best part, you know? So
yeah, absolutely. When Jeremy said that, Krista, I was like, it's the silly stuff that was the most fun.
Yeah.
Krista, give us three words.
Fun time together.
Perfect. Shannon, you got three words?
I got it. Core memories unlocked.
Boom. That's awesome. I would just say love these guys. That's all I say.
That's good too.
So, all right. So for listening today, we appreciate that. Again, you have any questions, reach out to us in Edcot. Murray, Krista, Shannon, Scott, Cindy, myself, we're happy to answer if we can. And we hope we entertained, made you smile, made you laugh today. Thank you for joining us, not from California, but from our memories from California. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.